tomorrow morning and then again in the evening. Tomorrow morning, the ladies' Bible study. Let me encourage you to, ladies, to come. And the time on that is at, where'd she go? 11:30. 11:30 and 6:30. 11:30 and 6:30. And Terry Pritchard, wife of Brother Paul Pritchard, and I've known this family for quite a number of years and seen and watched their faithfulness in serving God, the miracles that God performed in their life, in their ministry. Talk about someone who has been through death's door. Brother Paul Pritchard on the mission field in Africa was in a terrible car wreck. 18 surgeries later and lots of metal. They won't even hardly let him go through an airport. Sets off all the bells and all, everything, you know, all that kind of thing. But not just personal miracles, not just personal blessings, but in their family, but in their ministry. And I'm so thankful for all that God's been doing and his protection upon their work. And she'll be speaking in the ladies' Bible study in the morning at 11:30 and then in the evening at 6:30. So you come, please. I know it'll be a blessing, and you will hear her heart. And it is a great honor to have them here with us. 1 John chapter 2. As I look at these Bibles here, these were intended for other graduates. And as sometimes things happen and people go out of town, and that's fine. That's all right. But the Bibles that we handed out, they are a roadmap, if you will. They're God's love letter, if you will. We could try to give all kinds of synonyms for what the Bible is. Someone said B-I-B-L-E. If you look at it as an acrostic, B-I-B, basic instructions before leaving earth. That's a good way of looking at God's Word. And I'm so thankful that he answers man's basic questions in the Word of God. No greater gift could we give someone embarking on a new portion of their life, and the portion probably that has the most ramifications, the most impact. But every last one of us are given choices every day of our life. Every day of our life we have decisions before us. And are we going to choose to do what seems good to us, or are we going to consult with the Lord Jesus Christ? He is our King of Kings. Are we going to follow God's will? Look, please, with me at 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. The Bible tells us, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Before we get into this passage, let me just point out something that's interesting. Verse 5 talks about our love, talks about what we love. Without doubt, you love something, hopefully. You love someone, hopefully. There's something that lightens your eyes. There's something that grabs your attention. For some, it might be race cars. For some, it might be fishing. For some, it might be sewing. For some, it might be shopping. For some, it might, you know, I could go on and on. There might be something that when I say whatever it is, you might say, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And when am I going next? I don't know about frisbee golf, if that's on the list, but teenagers are going to like that. I encourage you to think about what you love. The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Three times refers to our love. That's an important thing. Love gives direction to what we do and what we pursue. And then we see in verse 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. What is lust? Lust is a strong desire. A strong desire. Sometimes a desire that is out of bounds. It's so strong, it dominates. And there's a difference between love and a strong, dominating desire. Love is concerned with someone else more than me. Lust strong desire of my heart is about me. Here in this passage, we have this as a ramp up to verse 17. Verse 17 says the reason why. And the world passes away, and the strong desires, the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Following God's will. Oh, I'm glad, preacher, that you're preaching on this today on Graduates Day. Those graduates need it. Moms, dads, we need it too. Grandma, grandpa, we need it too. Volusia County Baptist Church, we need it too. Following God's will is an everyday, moment-by-moment decision. Doing what God wants in our life. I'm talking about doing good in Sunday school. Say, well, I don't think, you know, the will of God is really talked about much in the Bible. When we're done today, I think you'll change that thought. Let's bow in prayer and go to the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for what you've done in our midst here. Thank you, Lord, for answers to prayer. Thank you, Lord, for the freedom that we have to worship you. Lord, no one is absconding with our Bibles. We bring them in thankfully and publicly. Lord, may we not take for granted what other people cherish. And Lord, I pray that we would realize that we are going to give an account, not just me as a pastor, and I understand the grave responsibility for that. And I pray that I would never get over that and never get past that. Lord, remind me of how severe that is. But Lord, as Christians, we will all stand before you one day. And we would realize then how easy it would have been to please you and to have your blessing on our life if we just simply put you first and said, I'll do what you want me to do, Lord. So Heavenly Father, thank you for what you've given to us in your word. May Jesus Christ be praised, magnified, lifted up, and made clear before us. In whose wonderful name we pray these things. Amen. The world passeth away. So the things that are in this world that want to dominate our attention, and there's a lot of them. But the things of this world that want to grab our time and consume our efforts, we have to understand something. It's all going to burn up one day. Every last bit of it. Every building, every institution, every award, every trophy, it'll all be gone one day. Now, if you're a dad, a mom, a grandparent, or something like that, if you've been gone out of high school for a while, the high school that you were famous in, perhaps, everybody knew you because you were the queen of the senior class, or because you were the quarterback of your team, or because you set a record on the baseball home runs that season, or whatever the case may be, you were the valedictorian at your school. You show up 5 or 6 years later, and you have to have a visitor's pass. They don't remember your name. They don't know who you are. That's just an example of how forgotten everything that we call accomplishments in this world, how quickly it's going to be gone. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. The world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. How do we do the will of God? If this is the text point right here, how do we follow the will of God? Let me remind you of something that David Livingstone said. He said, I would rather be in the heart of Africa in the will of God than be on the throne of England out of the will of God. I'd rather be doing what seems to be dangerous. I'm willing to be doing what seems to be unrewarded, doing what God wants me to do, understanding that one day I will stand before him as the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I'd rather do that. Let me remind you of another famous statement. The will of God will not lead you where the grace of God cannot keep you. So in this thought of following God's will, Just understand one thing, that if you're in the center of God's hand, doing what God wants you to do, according to God's power and His sovereignty, you are invincible until God says otherwise. Until God is done with you, they can't touch you. Talk about those that the Apostle Paul was stoned at Lystra. And by the way, they were really good at that. They knew what it was like to stone someone. And they didn't take it, you know, lightly. They knew when someone was dead. But God was not finished with the Apostle Paul, raised him back up and continued to use him because he still had to go to Rome and to testify before Caesar and many, many other people to be saved. Following God's will, first, in fervent prayer. How do you find God's will? You got to spend time with God in His Word, spend time with God at His throne. In fervent prayer. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 12, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Fervent prayer. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. No. Fervent prayer. Setting aside other things in our schedule. Setting aside other needful things. To fervently go to the Lord in prayer and to not stop until you feel in your heart that God is giving you the answer. Until God gives you peace. Until God lifts the burden. Now, you cannot twist God's arm. You cannot make God do something. God, sometimes He says no to our prayer. No, that's not the right thing to ask for. No, we're not going to do that. Sometimes, praise the Lord, He says, yes, I'll do that. And sometimes He says, just wait. Just wait. And He gives the peace and He removes the burden and we know that He's in charge. Folks, if you have not experienced that in fervent prayer of God releasing that burden off of your heart, you are missing one of the greatest joys of the Christian life. Fervent prayer. The Bible says in Romans 8:27, and he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. When you are bringing that prayer before the Lord Jesus Christ and you don't even know exactly how you should pray. Lord, I don't know whether my daughter should marry him or not. I don't know whether he should marry her or not. I don't know whether to take that job or not. I don't know what you want, if you want us to move or not. But Lord, I want your will. Please, God, you direct me. I'm so afraid of stepping out and doing something that you have not ordered. Oh, dear God, I've seen examples in your word where people moved upon themselves and took upon themselves to do something and how that you just stepped back and said, okay, you want to do that? Go right ahead. And the great heartache that came, God, I don't want that. So I don't know. I kind of want to go. I kind of want to stay. I kind of want him to marry, but I kind of don't. I want your will, please, dear God, and fervently in prayer. The Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit intercedes on our behalf when we don't even know how we should pray. That's wonderful. We have a prayer interpreter. That's good. There's a deaf interpreter right here. Miss Sherry does a marvelous job interpreting for the deaf. And she sometimes probably has to clean up some of the things that I say. Comes out, you know, cattywampus. Has that ever happened to you? It happens to me a lot. In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin, Proverbs says. And I don't know how she keeps up. I don't know. But there's a greater interpreter than her, and that's the Holy Spirit of God, who knows my heart and knows the emptiness. And when I'm trying to form the words and I don't know how to even express my heart in that fervent prayer, seeking the will of God, the Holy Spirit says, Father, you help him. Here's what he means to say. That's a blessing. That's a good thing. So in fervent prayer, following God's will. Secondly, in focused praise. In focused praise, following God. He that doeth the will of God abideth forever. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything give thanks. For this is the, say it with me, will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It is the will of God that we thank God in everything. Oh, that's right, Brother Mark. I really should thank God for all of His blessings. Yes. How about the painful things? How about the storms? How about the problems? Do you know sometimes God can use problems to slow us down, to pull us aside, to give us special instruction? We can get so busy in the fray and so overcome in the fight, serving the Lord Jesus Christ, that we cease to love the Lord Jesus Christ as we should. We cease to take the time to worship Him. And sometimes God will put us on our back just to remind us who we are and who He is and what He's done for us, and just to renew that relationship. It wasn't because we were in deep, dark sin. It was just because, in some cases, because we needed a pause. And He took us out of the game for a little while and set us on the bench. We're saying, "Coach, I want to play. Coach, put me in. I'm ready. He says, "No, you sit there for a while." In everything, give thanks. God knows what He's doing. In the good times, He knows what He's doing. In the bad times, He knows what He's doing. And so we can say, "God, thank You for that flat tire. I don't know why. Don't know what You're doing with it. But I thank You that I didn't wreck. Thank You, Lord. I didn't harm anybody else." 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 15 says, "For so is the will of God, that with well-doing You may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men." You're serving God. You're doing things that God would have you do. You're sharing the gospel. You're giving tracts. You're pointing people to the Lord. You're studying in His Word. You're praying, meditating on Scripture. And somebody comes along and attacks you for doing good. Sometimes it's the world. Sometimes it's the saved. Oh, saved people would never attack you. Just go ahead and believe that. And I hope it's true. But you see, sadly, sometimes, as moving parts are working together, sometimes they clash. Misunderstandings take place. Sometimes Satan sows seeds of distrust. And we don't recognize that it's spiritual warfare. We don't recognize that it's got the devil's fingerprints on it. And no matter what it is that we're doing, understand this, that it's better if you're in the will of God to stay in the will of God. And if you're going to suffer in the will of God, then go through the suffering and endure that, knowing that the Lord Jesus Christ is sovereign and that He will reign supreme. The will of God, that with well-doing you put to silence. Following God's will in physical purity. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3. "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication," from fleshly sin, physical purity. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 2 says that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. We live in a day and time in our world that it mimics and acts like Rome and Greece of old. And the terrible wickedness that we look back on and in the history books there and of Sodom and Gomorrah, and that is being embraced in our world and being infused into God's church. And God says it's the will of God that you abstain from fornication, physical impurity, immorality. That is God's will. That is God's will for believers. So, what do we have so far? Fervent prayer, focused praise, physical purity, and now this one, friendly peers. Friendly peers. No one will have as great of an impact on you as your friends. I'm not talking about Facebook friends. If you're on Facebook, you probably have more than 100 friends. Okay? It just happens. There are people that just, you know, you're wondering, they're from Oregon or they're from New Mexico and you never met them and they want to be your friend. It happens. And I've never seen anything like it. Some of you have bragging rights as you say, I've got 200, 300, 400 friends. I don't, you know, how does that all happen? But those that you are, that you're close to, your peers, friendly peers, make sure that they are following God's will and God's way. Romans chapter 15, verse 32, the Bible says that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God and may with you be refreshed. You know what a friendly person does? He will or she will refresh your heart. Needs to refresh your heart in the Lord. Need to encourage one another. There's something about joining together your hearts in love. I was with a man in our church yesterday, and we were praying, and I grabbed his hand, and he took my hand in prayer, and we joined together in prayer. There's something about that. There's something about joining our hearts with others and getting that encouragement from one another. That is why it is so good to be in God's house here amongst God's family that live stream just cannot give you. It can't. Some of you cannot drive after dark. And some of you cannot come on Sunday night and for other reasons that God knows. But if you can be in God's house on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Thursday night, revival meeting, mission conference, you need to be where God's people are and be refreshed. The peers that we have. 1 Corinthians 1:1, Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother. Sosthenes, who was he? I don't know. What did he do? I'm not sure. There's not a lot said about Sosthenes, but I'm looking forward because he was mentioned there in the beginning of 1 Corinthians. And I'm just wondering, he must have been somebody of note, someone of value to the Apostle Paul. And so I'm going to look him up when I get to heaven. Where's Sosthenes? Tell me your story. What happened? How did you get so close to the Apostle Paul? Friendly peers. Number 5, faithful partners. Now, you'll have friends. You'll have friends. And then there'll be people that you serve together with. You serve God. You're shoulder to shoulder in the fight. Faithful partners. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 8:5, and this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. They gave themselves to the Lord and to the Apostle Paul's ministry and work and serving alongside. For the will of God. I mean, are you seeing this over and over in every verse that I'm showing you? The will of God. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. The Bible says in Ephesians 6:6, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Doing God's will from my heart. Not so that other people can see. Many times, so they cannot see. But understand this, God sees it all. Not with eye service as men pleasers. But I'm doing God's will. That should be your testimony. That should be your testimony. So as you're raising that boy, raising that girl, as you're leading that home, you need to be able to say, Lord Jesus Christ, I need your direction. I need your will. Please, I'm burdened. I'm burdened for our church. I'm burdened for my family. I'm burdened for our country. I'm burdened for our county and our state. I believe the time is short before Jesus Christ comes back. And I wonder if we are busy doing wonderful things. But I wonder if God's work is sitting and lying dormant. I wonder if we're too busy. Faithful partners. Number six, next to last, following God's will in future plans. Now, this is where most people think God's will plugs in. I want to know God's will so that I can know what He wants me to do in my life. Now, let me pause here for just a moment, if I may. God has a plan for this world. He makes that plan known in His Word. He has been gracious enough to reveal to us even what His plan is and what's going to take place. We still have some things coming, like the tribulation period. We're not in the tribulation period. We haven't seen the like of the tribulation period. They're talking about golf ball size hail this past week, and how destructive that is. God has 100-pound hailstones that He's talking about coming down from heaven in the tribulation period. And that's just one of the many devastations that are going to take place and that people call apocalyptic. Folks, that is not just something that people make movies about. And by the way, let me say this. The reason why Hollywood and Satan is inspiring Hollywood to make those movies is so that they will accept what is going on and realize it's probably coming from some alien or something that somebody else found out, and they're going to turn that asteroid around and they're going to blow it up or they're going to do something because this is coming and destroy and going to. Folks, God has told all these things, and you can find a movie about most everything in the book of Revelation. Satan is preaching about it. Because it's going to happen. Now, God has a plan for this world. He has a plan. If He has a plan for the world, doesn't it make sense that God has a plan for the ones He loves most? In other words, Brother Royce, He has a plan for your life. Brother Lewis, He has a plan for your life. He has a plan for my life. He has a will for us. Something for us to do. In His plan, we fit into His plan somehow, some way. And He says, walk with me, talk with me. I will lead you, I will show you, I will include you in my plan. I will bless you as you do it. I will empower you to do it. Just follow me. Follow my will for your life in future events. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 1 and verse 10, making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. The Apostle Paul is saying, this is what I think needs to happen. I would like to come to see you. And I'm praying by the will of God that it's His will that I do that. You see, he was not calling his own shots. He admitted and he confessed and he put on paper that he is following God's will. And if God continues to direct that way, then he's looking forward to seeing you. The book of James reminds us that we ought to say, if the Lord will, I will do this or do that. It's not a bad thing to say, yeah, we'll look forward to that. We'll see you, Lord willing. That's not trying to be hyper-spiritual. That's just admitting that God's in charge. That's just confessing that He is the Lord. Future plans. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. How are you transformed? By meditating and obeying the precious Word of God. Transformed. That's changing from one thing to another. You have a transformer that changes from AC current of the house to DC current of the house. I may have mentioned this. My dad, when I was young, we had a train set. And there was a black box with two red levers on it. And one was direction and the other was speed. And it plugged into the wall. And it changed the current from AC current to DC current. It converted that. It transformed it. We have a problem with our brain. It's a sinful thing. We have an old nature. And so we have to have that transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect. There's our words again. Will of God. We're not going to know what God wants us to do until we get in tune with Him. And last, if you want to follow God's will, it starts with fervent prayer. And then in focused praise. And in physical purity. The friends, our peers. Faithful partners encouraging us. Aligning ourselves with them as they want to serve God. Future plans, Lord, You're in charge. And then last, this sounds kind of weird, fire protection. Fire protection. 1 Peter 4:19 says, "Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator." Trials and sufferings and fiery trial. The Bible tells us, don't be amazed at the fiery trial which is to try us. Let me remind you of three young men. More than likely, these were teenagers. More than likely. At best, they were very young men. We know them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And when Nebuchadnezzar said, "Everyone bow down, worship my image. Bow down and give praise unto me. Give homage to. And they said, "No. We only bow down to one God, Jehovah God, the Creator of heaven and earth. We're not going to bow down to you. I'm sorry." And of all the other folks, they were in the minority. I'm talking about the Israelites. I'm talking about those that were taken. Their friends, their cohorts. All those that were taken from Israel. Everybody else is saying, "Come on, hush. Come on. It's not a big deal. God knows your heart, you know. It's not a big deal. Just do like the rest of us. Don't make a big fuss." No. Nope. We're going to either stand for the Lord and die, or we're surrendered to His will. They had no direction from God saying that God would preserve or protect them. You know the story? They were taken and they were thrown into the fiery furnace. And the king was so upset, he said, "Heat up that fire 7 times hotter than it ought to be." Threw him in there. He looked through the opening. He said, "Didn't we throw in there 3 men? And yet I see 4 walking around. And they're not hurt by the fire." Our God is in control. He is in charge. Amen? Oh, you're still awake. Very good. Glad to know that. In fire protection, in the trials, the fiery trials that will come into your heart and your life. 1 Peter 3:17 says, "For it is better if the will of God be so that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing." It's saying it's a good thing for you to suffer, if necessary, suffer in the will of God, suffer for doing good. Don't suffer for doing bad. Suffer for doing good and accept it. The Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. What I'm talking about here now is not some temporary trial, some little stubbing our toe spiritually, some little disagreement with some other person that sits across the pew from you. Somebody in your family that has a grudge against you or whatever. "Woe is me. Oh, nobody likes me." Those things will come and go. And hopefully you can see great victory and God bless. But there'll be some times that you won't see the victory on this side of glory. But those are temporary things. The Bible says that He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You may be seated here. And if I were to ask you this question, if you were to die today, do you know for sure that heaven would be your home? You say, "Well, I hope so. I'd like to go to heaven. I'd like to think I'm pretty good. I'm probably better than a lot of people. I probably would have a good chance. Yes, I think so." 1 John 5:13 says, "These things have written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life." You can know. The Bible says, "He that doeth the will of God abideth forever." Do you know that heaven is your home? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so. They're like the chaff which the wind driveth away. For the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. But the way of the ungodly shall perish. Brothers, sisters in Christ,